Part 1. 1879 to 2007. The Rise. Chapter 1. The Absorbing Interest. If Dave Brandon had been named the athletic director of a school whose football program had recently joined the NCAA's top division, like the universities of Buffalo, Connecticut, or Central Florida, he would have had no tradition to contend with, and no loyalists to object if he did. But he was taking over the University of Michigan's athletic department, with a rich history going back to 1879 and a faithful following that knew that history and cared deeply about it. It's as difficult to separate Michigan football from the university as it is to separate the university from Ann Arbor and Ann Arbor from the Midwest. The Midwest is so flat you can see three state capitals just by standing on a park bench. But the area comes with a set of beliefs recognizable to anyone who grew up here, moved here, or even visited the Great Lakes states. Chief among them is community, which developed not as some quaint trait, but to ensure survival. Hard work and teamwork are encouraged. Boasting is not. The stoic toughness of farmers and factory workers is the norm. The flash of the Fab Five, the exception. The University of Michigan was founded in Detroit in 1817, 20 years before Michigan became a state. That simple fact came with a crucial consequence. Because the university's charter predates the state constitution, the University of Michigan has enjoyed more autonomy than any other state university, by design, although that autonomy has been threatened recently from an unexpected source. In January of 1824, two men with checkered pasts, John Allen and Elijah Rumsey, bought 640 acres of land for $1.25 each and called the area Ann Arbor, in honor of their wives' common names and as a means to market its bountiful trees. "Our water is of the purest limestone," Allen wrote in a sales pitch. "The face of the country moderately uneven, our river the most beautiful I have beheld, and abounding with the most valuable fish, and the climate is as pleasant as it is possible to be." "I was born and raised in Ann Arbor, and I love it dearly. But I have to tell you, that last one is a whopper. Ann Arbor is home to bitterly cold winters, surprisingly humid summers, and springs filled with so much rain, muck, and sometimes snow, we occasionally skip that season altogether. But falls in Ann Arbor are glorious, and that's what this town was made for." In 1837, Ann Arbor convinced the state legislature to relocate the state university from Detroit with the promise of 40 free acres, land that today is called the Diag. By the Civil War, the University of Michigan had attracted some 1,500 students, surpassing Harvard as the nation's largest university. When you recruit thousands of single young men and women to a beautiful campus with little adult supervision, what could go wrong? Just about everything, starting with drinking. As early as 1863, University President Henry Tappan urged residents to root out the evil influences of alcohol. 6 years after the Civil War, President Erastus Otis Haven said Ann Arbor was disgraced all over the country as a place of revelry and intoxication. The second most popular student vice that drove presidents crazy was violence in the form of football, a game that requires a lot of land, and a lot of young men willing to crash into each other for a couple of hours. Where better to find these two ingredients than a college campus? Given the amazing profits universities can make today from their football teams, it's worth noting that the game was invented by college students for students. For decades, no one bothered calling it college football because there was no other kind. The game spread from the Northeast, crossing the Alleghenies for the first time on May 30, 1879, when a band of Michigan students hopped on a train bound for Chicago to play the Purple Stockings from Wisconsin's Racine College and beat them 1-0. Racine closed its doors 8 years later, while the Wolverines soon became one of the nation's most popular attractions, worthy of the nation's largest stadium, and an estimated 2.9 million fans around the world. "I have traveled to 40 countries on 6 continents, and in every single one of them I have heard someone shout, 'Go Blue!'"